See, hey, Mike, do me a favor. Before they get hot under the collar, turn the air condition on, would you?
Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to be here a while. I'm kidding. How you doing this morning on Easter Sunday morning?
Wonderful.
Yeah, you know it's also April Fool's Day, right? I don't have a joke for you. I'm going to tell you the truth. But I did wonder, I have never remembered having Easter on April Fool's Day before. And so I looked it up, 1956. Who was alive? Who wasn't? Yeah, so that's been a while ago. It just kind of bothers me. I know it doesn't bother you, but maybe you don't think about it, but it just kind of bothers me. April Fools on the resurrection day. The atheists are having a heyday. Well, at least we don't have to worry about this until 2029. Again. Yeah. So let's see, how long is that? Oh, no, I may still be alive. April Fools, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Psalms 14, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's pretty sobering. And he's not talking about a fool who is dumb. Because we live in a scientific age. And there are many scientists who say that there is no God, atheists. There's many who say that there is and they believe in God. But the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I think obviously... Now, the world believes in God of some type. There's just a handful of people. Maybe they don't want to be responsible to God. They don't want to line up to maybe what God says. I don't know what their story is, why they don't believe in God. But it's so obvious. Look at the design. I mean, if you looked at your watch, you found a watch, you would say, oh, I wonder who designed that. I wonder who made that. And you look at the universe and our solar system, down to the very cells of our body, how everything fits together and runs properly. Someone had to make it and plan it. That's what God did. So you have a world that believes in God, but the fool has said that there is no God. But how about the ones who believe in God, but they don't believe in God correctly, like we believe that we do? Who's the fool? Are we the fools? And even, let me tell you something, even in Christianity, there's studies that have been done, people who call themselves Christians, there's a big portion of those who don't know if they really believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. It's an amazing survey that was done. People who go to church on a regular basis. And there's some that would say, well, you know, I don't know if it really matters. Some would say that he was raised from the dead. He was a good man, and he showed us the way how to live. Well, and there's some truth to that. You know what he showed us? He showed us the way how to live that we can't live it. You think the Ten Commandments is hard? Well, Jesus straightened that all up. He said, now, you've heard it said, thou shalt not murder. Now listen, pay attention, but he says this. Jesus said, but I'm saying to you, don't even become angry with your brother. How many have been angry at someone? That's right, sinner. You did not measure up to what Jesus said. Somebody said, well, I'm pretty mellow and, you know, I'm usually not angry and so I'm a pretty good guy. Well, let me talk to you, sir. He said, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I'm telling you, don't even lust after a woman, or you've already committed adultery. That's a pretty hard standard. I would like to almost do a survey in this room right here, and of those two things, and say, how many of you have followed his regulations or his law? And there's not a one of you, just those two things, and he mentions a bunch of stuff. Now, you know why he did that? To let you know you're not as good as you think, that you need a Savior, that you need your sins forgiven. And don't be foolish, don't be a fool, and think differently than that. You need Jesus. And we have a lot of different ideas. Some are foolish and some are biblical. And we ought to find out what those biblical ones are. Now I can almost understand. Forgive me, it is April Fool's Day. I can almost understand why some people would look at Christianity and laugh. I could almost understand that. A bunny with eggs? You know, some alien come down and look on Sunday morning and even here, I don't know, we've done it in the past, I don't know what they're doing this morning, and they go hide these eggs, you know? And they're colored eggs, all different kind of colors. And a bunny, I don't know, does the bunny lay them or just deliver them? And if he just delivers them, is he a miller? No, let's not go there. I mean, there's a lot of things. And our children, my wife has always, it was like a big deal, made an Easter basket. Now, I'm a pastor, and it has eggs in it, but it's okay because they're chocolate eggs, so I'm good for it. It's good for me. I mean, they would look at us and they would say, what do you believe? What do you guys believe? Well, let me tell you what we believe this morning. Are we fools to believe that Jesus Christ was God that became flesh and dwelled here, and then he died for our sins? And he was resurrected? Are we fools to believe that? Are we delusional? Are we just kidding ourselves, or is there something to it? You know, the Bible, Paul talked about that. What if there is no resurrection? What if, and there was a group of people who believed that there was no bodily resurrection, there's just spirit stuff that happened. And so they were questioning Paul and they were challenging him. And he says, well, what if Jesus was raised from the grave? What if? And so I want to read that to you. And if you have your Bibles or your electronic equipment, get off Facebook now and turn to 1 Corinthians, 15th chapter. And we'll start reading in the 12th verse. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? So he's challenging them in what they believe. Because some of them believe, Jesus did raise from the dead, but that's not going to happen for us. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. So he says two things there, that if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, if he didn't come alive after those 3 days like we believe, then your faith, what's the purpose of it? What's the meaning of it? It's empty. It has no purpose. Because he said that he was going to do this, and we saw him afterwards. But if he really didn't, then really your religion is empty and it has no value whatsoever. And our proclaiming his resurrection is empty. If Jesus Christ did not come alive, then the things that we have preached for years has no meaning whatsoever. We're even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. So even in, we believe in God, you believe in God, everyone else believes in God, but we misrepresent God if we say that he's raised when you say he's not. Now I want you to just think about some of this thinking as Paul is going through. Because if you really are going to be saved, or you're really going to be born again, if you're really going to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship with the God the Father, you have to believe that he was raised from the dead. Let me tell you something about Jesus Christ. He said that. He said he would do that after 3 days. He would die, and after 3 days he'd be raised from the dead. Now, was he delusional? Was he stupid? Was he a fool? And his 3 years of ministry was just like every day April Fool's Day? If we don't believe that he rose from the dead, then he is a fool. Because he said that he would. But he's alive. And it's true. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Every one of you that know Jesus Christ in reality, you know what happened to you when you came to him. And you know that the sins that you felt and the guilt of those sins were lifted. When you begin to understand why he came and why he died, to wash your sins and to cleanse your sins, and to make you whole and perfect him, you know the reality of that. And his resurrection is what sealed the deal. It is what brought the cleansing and the power to do those very things. And it's not something, it's not a foolish thing, it's not a made-up thing. There's a real thing that happened in our lives. In fact, we go to the extent, as the Bible tells us to be baptized. And in this little place back here, we put people in there and we dunk them. And we put them all the way under. If we don't like them, we hold them a little longer under. And we baptize them. And we go through this whole routine of stuff to baptize them, put the water, it's a lot of water, it's a lot of work, have a heater in there, make them comfortable, you know. And we go through that whole process, not because it's just a religious thing, but we're doing it because we're showing what has happened in our lives. That we've been raised from the dead. That he's alive. He's alive and we're alive in him. And that's the reality. Now, if there is no resurrection from the dead, though, he says you're still in your sins. You still have the guilt and the weight of that. The conscience that is bothered and hurting. The conscience that you do things to try to medicate. Maybe you use alcohol or drugs or women or men. Maybe you use other things to try to medicate because of the guilt that you feel. But when you come to Jesus Christ, and because he's alive, that stuff begins to be lifted off of you. This resurrection is not a fool's day thing. It's a reality. He's alive. And anyone who has experienced in their own life that resurrection power that has come inside and changed you, and your guilt is gone, your heaviness is gone, it's an amazing thing. And it makes you realize he truly was resurrected from the dead. And you believe that, don't you? Yeah. You know, there's sometimes, though, how much do we really believe that? Because there's sometimes when we get in a certain group of people, maybe they're not Christians or maybe they're Gnostics and they kind of believe in Jesus but not the resurrection, and they start talking about that and they start saying things like, hey, do you realize that there's people out there who really believe that Jesus raised from dead? That he do you realize that? And oh, they're just fools. And you get quiet. It's awkward for you and awkward for me. And you don't stand up because, well, they make kind of sense. It does sound foolish, doesn't it? Oh, Christian, he's alive. And you need to stand up and proclaim that, because he's done something in your life that has been absolutely incredible. He saved you. That reality ought to settle inside of us. And I know it does most of us, but I think there's some religious kind of people that come on Easter because, you know, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And maybe you had to come because a relative invited you, and you do that on Easter and Christmas, and happy to have you here. But I want you to know and experience the truth of his resurrection power. I want you to know and experience that reality of who he is, that he's alive, and he wants to come into your life and to change you. Not just to make you moral. Yeah, you'll become moral, but not because you're trying to earn something from God. You can't earn anything from God. He gives it freely. Someone might say, well, you know, the resurrection, they made that up. They improvised those, now what do you call them, those disciples who became apostles. They just made that up because they wanted to start a movement. You know, they were greedy people. And they were going to start this movement. I mean, why? What did they get out of it? What did they get out of this if it was a lie? What was it? Did they gain wealth? You remember what Jesus told them to do? Jesus said, hey, sell everything and follow me and don't have a bunch of stuff to keep you back. You just go. Go into the world and preach the gospel. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Now, people tell a lie because they want something out of it. They tell a lie because they don't want to get in trouble. They want to get something out of it. They tell a lie so that they can defeat the political party. We know a lot about... No, never mind. People tell lies because they're trying to gain something out of that lie. Well, what did they gain out of it? You know, maybe they were great greedy people and they're gonna get some finances and well, no, they had nothing. In fact, Peter was going along one day in Jerusalem and this beggar was there, and the beggar says, "Hey, could you give me some coin? Or McDonald's or something, you know, I'm hungry." And Peter says, "Well, I don't have anything, but I tell you what, I shouldn't say I don't have anything because I do. And what I have, I'm going to give to you." And this beggar who was crippled, that's why he was begging, he prayed for him and he was raised up and started dancing around. And a miracle was done. And you know, those kinds of miracles are incredible, and they saw a lot of those. We don't see a lot of those today, but they saw a lot of those things because God wanted to spread the gospel all around the world, and man, it spread like fire. But I tell you what, I'm telling you right now, a miracle will take place in your life if you believe in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now, the miracle that raised that guy up and healed him will heal your heart. That heart that is selfish, that heart that is yearning to please self, God will heal you and raise you up inside. So what did these guys get out of this? Well, they didn't get any money. Okay, it might not be that they wanted money, but how about fame? They wanted to be seen. They wanted to have the people clap for him. And early on, when Peter came along, man, people, when he did that miracle, they were thronging to him. I mean, they were so excited. Then he preached Jesus in the gospel that Jesus died for their sins, that all had sinned. And so, yeah, maybe that's what they were after. Maybe they wanted to be seen and to gain some type of fame in their lives. The problem with that thought is just the opposite begin to take place after a little while. After thousands upon thousands got saved, then there were some of the religious people who hated them for it. And there was this guy called Saul, and he was leading people around, and they were killing the Christians. And so if you're looking for fame as a Christian and starting this new thing, and here people are gathering around to stone you, "Hi, I'm the leader of the Christians." No, they didn't do that. They weren't looking for that kind of fame. They wanted to bring fame to Jesus Christ, God made flesh, dwelling among us, his resurrection power, he died for us. And they preached that gospel. They preached that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Then it says, "He is evil and unrighteous." And then it goes on and says, "In fact, there's no one that is righteous. All are fools. And we need a Savior. We need Jesus Christ. We need him to come into our lives and to change us." The disciples, what did they gain from a lie? Absolutely nothing of this world. They didn't gain any fame. they do today because we talk about guys like Paul and Peter. And we have an appreciation for them and what they went through. Almost every single one of them died a horrible death. And I don't know if this is true what I'm going to tell you, but I can imagine. I can imagine they hated him so much and they tried to get them to say, just say you don't believe in Jesus Christ. That's what some are doing today who are killing Christians around the world. It's happening more than you realize. What are you going to say? When your head's going to be lopped off, and will you accept, will you deny Jesus Christ? And they never did. To their death. To their death. They rejoiced in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Trying to think. Trying to think of a country. I can't think of it. Nigeria, I think it is. The Muslims came in and killed all the men in the village or the little city. They killed 500 men. Now we can't relate to that. We sit comfortably here. We're rejoicing. We sing wonderful songs. We're happy. We're satisfied. But not in Nigeria. 500 men. The news media caught hold of it. A reporter went. And when he got there, they were having a funeral. And to his amazement, they were dancing and singing and rejoicing in God. How can this be? And he was blown away. Why are you rejoicing? Your husbands, your sons were all killed. Because they're with Jesus. He's alive. Now see, that's reality. That's the truth. That settles in. He's alive. Some of you might have heard this story. There's a little boy, and he had a little sister who had leukemia. And the parents set him down, and they said, "Son, your sister is going to die, and we need to give her a blood transfusion. Would you do that for her?" And he said, "Can I think about it?" Kind of a strange reaction. "Yes, son, sleep over it, and tomorrow morning tell us your decision." So he went to bed, and they got him up the next morning, and he said, "I'll do it for sister, mom, and dad." And so they took him to the hospital and they laid him by his sister and did the blood transfusion. And he was asleep and he woke up and they said, "Honey, because you gave your blood, she's going to live." And he said, "I'm so glad." And then he said to him, "When am I going to die?" You see, he thought that he was going to die. He thought that's what the blood transfusion would do. It would kill him. And he was ready to die for his sister. Jesus was ready to die for you. And you didn't care anything about him. Jesus was ready to die when you were a sinner. And you didn't care anything about him. He gave his life for you because he loves you, not because you deserve it. The little boy had that relationship with his sister that he loved her so much, and he was willing to die. Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to die. God loved us so much that he gave his son. And as he was on that cross, he said, at one point, it's finished. And what he means by that, or meant by that, what I came to do is now accomplished. I'm dying for the world and their sins. And he died. But the completion of that was the resurrection. Paul goes on and he says, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, because there's no, if there be no resurrection, we're of all people most miserable. You could feel a good feeling here of joy. Did you experience that this morning? People feeling good, sang the first song, And let me tell you, that's what Christianity does for you. Something deep down inside that even people who are going through difficult times, they rejoice in God. The resurrection power of God brings a joy to us, not a sadness. And this life is full of pain and suffering and sorrow, but there's something always down inside, because he's alive, I'm alive inside. A joy inside. I'm not miserable. I'm not sad. I love what God has done in my life. A joy that just seems to come up. Oh, I know what it is to be happy. Give me $10,000 and you'll make me happy. I know those kinds of happiness, those good feelings. Why, it wouldn't even take $10,000. Take me out to lunch. I'm a happy camper for that. But let me tell you, life isn't always happy. Life isn't always full of joys. There's a lot of suffering. But to the one who believes in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's a joy that wells up. And an understanding, a complete understanding of a hope, a confidence of one day being with him forever and ever. And why is that? There's a song that Cinda's going to sing. Cinda, come on up. And you they're going to help her. Come on up. There's a song that she's... Well, if that was for you, Cinda, that was weak. I can understand why they would clap for me like that, but... Yeah. Hear those bells ringing. Christ is risen from the dead. This is a Keith Green song, and I love it. We are not miserable, but we're full of joy. And this day is a day that we rejoice, but let me tell you, even more so on April Fool's Day, that I'm not the fool. I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, go ahead.
Hey, good morning. We're really excited to sing this song. This is a very joyful song. Hope you enjoy.
Oh, that was awesome, huh? Hey, stand with me, would you? You know, that wasn't just a song, but that was a truth that was sang. He's alive. And we ought to leave this place and act like it and tell a world he's alive. He's alive, and he's alive in me. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and there's something inside of you that is being drawn, that you know it's true, but you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you can do that right now. You can be anywhere and do that. You don't have to be in church. And I'm not going to have you come forward, even raise your hand, or even anything like that, because I want the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I've got to go away so I can send the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to begin to tug at your heart until you say yes to God. It could happen now, could happen tomorrow, could happen on the way home. But surrender to that tug. Give in to that tug, because he's alive. Father, today as we go our different directions, and even as we celebrate with family and have dinner together and do the different things that we do on Easter Sunday morning, may there be inside of us something that leaps in us like never before, that you're alive. That the reality of Jesus is true, and we have a hope of eternal life, and we thank you for that. We are not miserable, but we have the joy of the Lord, and it's our very strength today. Your blessing as we go, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Lord bless you. Have a great day today.